So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Good morning, everybody. This Republican shutdown did not have to happen. But I want every American to understand why it did happen. Republicans in the House of Representatives refused to fund the government unless we defunded or dismantled the Affordable Care Act. They've shut down the government over an ideological crusade to deny affordable health insurance to millions of Americans. So once again, I urge House Republicans to reopen the government, restart the services Americans depend on, and allow the public servants who have been sent home to return to work. This is only going to happen when Republicans realize they don't get to hold the entire economy hostage over ideological demands. Thank you.
Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it, all about your stand. And if you can play it, it's all about pain.
And who's gonna make it?
I am the game. You don't wanna play me.
I am control.
No way you can shake me.
I am heavy debt.
No way you can pay me.
I am the pain,
and I know you can't take me.
Look over your shoulder, ready to run like a Cleveland bench from a smoking gun.
I am the game,
and I may lose.
So move on out here
and die like a fool.
Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be.
Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me?
Don't you forget there's a price you can pay.
Cause I am the game and I want to play.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it is time to play the game once again, right here at the MVM Radio Network. Hello, folks, I'm Ed Spriggs, your host tonight, here on the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. And I tell you, we've got so much going on. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, and I can't say that I blame you, you know, the world is still turning. The sun did come up this morning. You know, private business went to work. The IRS is still collecting taxes. The welfare recipients are still getting paid, and the military is still deployed around the world. So this whole government shutdown has not destroyed everything like we thought it was going to if you listen to the Democrats. So I want to make sure you're aware of that. And welcome to the air as usual on Wednesday night, our good friend, Mr. Dale the Truth. How are you, sir?
Greetings, my friend. I'm doing okay. The government shut down, and I really don't care.
I'm the same way. I personally hope they stay shut down for quite some time.
It does not affect me at all.
And it doesn't affect most people. You know, it really truly, about the only two groups that this really truly is affecting to any degree at all, and, you know, as far as welfare recipients and things are concerned, when it talks about government checks going to disabled veterans, by the end of October, they're going to have a problem getting their money. So disabled veterans may be affected by this long term. The WIC program, the Women, Infant, Children program, you know, where the government provides food and necessities for babies and things like that to low-income families, they're not going to, you know, the WIC program is basically already shut down. So you've got disabled veterans, people who fought and died and got hurt for our country. The veterans are affected to some degree. And the children, you know, we do it all for the children, and the children are suffering to some degree. But you know what? Our president and our Congress are still getting paid, so God bless America, right?
I wish the President and Congress weren't getting paid, and that's the only way that we could ever guarantee that there would But, you know, government shutdowns is that they didn't get paid. But like everything else we're talking about, they'd have to be the ones to pass such a bill. I was very glad to see our good friend Thomas Massey, who I wish I was in his constituency. If I was just about 4.5 miles to the east, I would be in his constituency. But he put out a post on his Facebook today where he sent a personalized letter to the comptroller there in D.C., asking that they please withhold his pay while this is going on.
Well, you know, he's not alone. You know, Ted Cruz, for example. Ted Cruz is donating every bit of his salary for every day we're shut down. He is donating it to charity. So he's not taking any money from this. He's sending his money to help the less fortunate. And then you look at Rand Paul. You know, Rand Paul, now I don't know what he's doing with his particular salary right now, but just last year alone, Rand Paul returned over $600,000 to the Treasury from his office funds. So, you know, and he's done that for the 2 years that he's been in. So, you know, we've got these Tea Party Republicans. Well, I'm just going to say, we've got the Tea Party Republicans putting their money where their mouth is. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's because people like Rand Paul, they earned a living in the private sector. They don't depend on that government salary. I mean, in fairness, a lot of politicians are millionaires and billionaires. Our own John Yarmuth here in Louisville, about the only good thing I can say about the man is he does donate his entire salary to charity because he's freaking loaded. He doesn't need the money.
Well, and I find that commendable as well. But at the same time, when it comes,
he doesn't need the money.
Really
he would never miss it. I mean, he's
well.
He's made
I understand
so much
that
money off of sex ads in Leo magazine that he would never need it. Go ahead.
Well, he's not making his money off of that either anymore. What he's making his money off of these days is his interest healthcare, right? And he is funding and paying for. You know, the government has paid money to his healthcare business and his nursing homes, you know, so he's getting his government money a different way. He's just bringing it in the back door. Well, I find it commendable. He's giving his upfront salary to charity, but let's be real here. He's making millions more by being perceived that way by getting government funding for the nursing healthcare business that he has. So, you know, we want to make sure we know that, too.
And doesn't he also have a lot of businesses, restaurants with his brother down in Florida where the tax burden is a lot lower?
Yes. So, you know, that's funny, too, I know. But, you know, but the point is, though, there are people that are actually doing their job. And even though I don't give John as much credit as I give everybody else, you know, you still got to give him credit. I agree with you there. I got to meet you halfway on that. You know, and for one thing, too, I want people to understand there is a reason that everybody still gets paid. Congress still gets paid. The 27th Amendment to the Constitution, folks, was ratified in 1992. And essentially, that was put in place pretty much to safeguard against the Congress giving themselves raises at will. But at the same time, because of the way it's worded, they not only cannot give themselves raises anytime they feel like it, it also protects them from having to take any pay cut. So if they said they don't want to get paid, they still have to get paid because of the 27th Amendment. And that's why it's really important to understand what Ted Cruz is actually doing today. And even John Yarmuth, give him credit. But their salary is going to charity, you know, even while the government is supposedly shut down and they're still drawing it. So, you know, that is an important distinction to make. That's what your Constitution, 27th Amendment to the Constitution, did. And, of course, we ratified it in 1992, Dale. So, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of there's a lot of interesting paradoxes here. I tell you, I am getting more and more involved in all the whining that's going on right now. Well, you know, for me, it's the government employees whining right now that's really driving me nuts. You know, the federal government goes into this shutdown. The federal government employees are crying. You know, boo-hoo, we're out of a job for a little while. You know, we have all these different things. We're not sure how we're going to pay our bills. And the only thing I'm thinking to myself, and I'm not trying to be heartless here, but the only thing I'm thinking is, welcome to the real world that everybody who lives in the private sector has to live with every single day.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, the private sector, you actually have to earn your job. You have to earn to keep it, just like I do. You have to work hard to keep it. They can get rid of you anytime they want. They can lay you off. I mean, they can downsize you. I've had a couple of different times in my working life that I've been downsized because of companies either shutting down or sending all the jobs overseas. So, yeah, welcome to our world. I don't feel sorry for them at all.
Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, there's another interesting thing here, too, because everybody thinks the government is shut down. The whole government stops operating. That's not true. 59% of federal government employees are going to work every day. 41% are considered what they call non-essential. So that raises the big question. If you're non-essential and they don't need you and can afford to do without you and shut down the government, why the hell are we paying you in the first place? And a great example, a guy by the name of Matthew Hoffman. He's a scientist with the National Institutes of Health in Maryland. And he said he had to go to his office Tuesday for 4 hours. And what did he do? He went into his office for 4 hours. He had to close up the labs, shut down the experiments, then close up the shop, turn in his timesheets, and leave. What that tells me is, I've got to ask the question, is your research so important that they can just go in and shut it down for any amount of time that they want to? Is it that important to the American people where we have to fund it?
Well, and also, research is all done on computers, and, these research scientists are so important. I'm sure a lot of them would much rather work at home, and you could save all that crazy commute if they actually work in the District of Criminals, so they could stay home, not have to go into D.C. and worry about the traffic and getting killed or stabbed or shot while you're in D.C. and not have to worry about gas and lunch. They could stay home, do what they want in their pajamas, and we could save a lot of money on office expenses and space.
Oh, you save a lot of money on everything. Make them contract employees. Let them be responsible for their own health care and everything else because, hey, let's face it, we 1099 contract employees everywhere in construction and things like that. We now have an Obamacare exchange, right? Let them go on to contract employees. Then we don't have to worry about providing benefits, pensions, or anything else. But you're not going to see them doing that. Let's go straight to the phones. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. Ed, I had no idea that you were going to scoop the entire country on this 27th Amendment thing. You're telling me, Ed, that when it comes to their money, they follow the Constitution?
Well,
that is breaking news.
Isn't that a miracle? We actually pointed that out last night, too, in a little bit of way, too. And it is fascinating because they're going to protect themselves, but nobody else. And, if I go back to this Matthew Hoffman, for example, I just used the scientist who runs experiments, God only knows on what. My bet is, and people can get angry at me if they want to, but I'm going to presume that most of these government employees who are crying foul because they're now on shutdown and furlough presumably voted Democrat. And I'll tell you why. Because most of these people are government union employees. They vote Democrat so they can keep continuing to get these perks, hold the government responsible. It is widely commonly believed, and I personally believe it based on my union ties and experience, that if you get a government union job, you essentially have a job for life unless you kill somebody. And that's what they want, So in light of the statements by Matthew Hoffman, I want you guys to listen to this, too, because Matthew Hoffman has also quoted that, in light of the previous two elections where Obama's been elected on the premise of changing the health care system, the Supreme Court decision to support the change in health care, and all these good things are happening, yet there's a vocal group that doesn't want it to happen, and this is their way of holding everyone hostage. The House should send a clean bill to the Senate to fund the government. Now, I ask you guys this. Do you think this guy votes Republican or votes conservative, or do you think he votes to keep his government cushy job? Based on a statement like that.
Well, if he might be a Democrat, and if he was he was conservative, he'd be working in the private sector.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. It's interesting because he's not alone. I mean, this is the general sentiment I'm getting all over the place from sources everywhere. You guys can go to LouisvillePolitics.com and read the article I put up concerning this. It will have the links to these stories for you. But, it's fascinating because when we look at this, that is a general consensus for government employees. None of them think about the thousands of Americans who go through this every single day. None of them think about the thousands of Americans who are being put out of full-time work because of Obamacare mandates. None of these people are thinking that they're not going to get a full-time salary. They're going to have to worry about paying their bills. No, all they're concerned with is their government-paid, cushy, lifetime job. And Hoffman goes on to make a statement that it's just such a waste of time and a waste of money for the American people that fund our research. I'm with you.
We have a lot of elitist scientists who do believe that, what they're doing is in the public good and all the little peons should support it and fund it. And we basically fund these things under threat of gun. And if you don't think you can fund them under the threat of a gun, once again, we'll say it, try not paying your income taxes, try not paying your house taxes, they will arrest you and take you to a cage if you don't pay these quote-unquote voluntary taxes. So if the government can shut down, the more parts of the government shut down, the better. It reminds me of NASA. Remember everybody boo-hooed and whined and bitched, and even a lot of neocons who have these little space wet dreams, I guess, they were mad when NASA lost a lot of their funding. Have we missed anything? Have we missed any planets? Do we not get to take a trip around Uranus or something? Did we miss something because the government got taken out of the spectrum and now it's under SpaceX and these private sectors? Tell me, gentlemen, do we lose anything by opting this out to the private sector?
That's a very good question. Paul, any answers?
Not on that thing in particular, but I've got two thoughts that are related to the general discussion, and that is, number one, who in this listening audience believes that all of these furloughed employees are going to actually be out any real money?
Right.
Who thinks that? Whoever thinks that, you need to go back under your rock or back into your cave, because these politicians will, I will guarantee you, they will make sure that back pay will be issued at 100% value. So So what they're getting is that they're getting extra days and perhaps weeks of paid vacation in which they can moonlight and earn even more money.
You're trying to tell people, but the problem is, Paul, you're telling people the truth, and you're not buying the whiny-ass argument, you know, and for us liberals, you know, we take offense to the fact that our whining is not changing your opinion on our poor, poor way of life. I mean, here's a great example of what you're talking about. You know, the EPA, for example, Caitlin Breer, she's a program analyst for the EPA. The EPA has furloughed 96% of its workforce. If our environmental protection is so crucial to our way of life, how could you get rid of 96% of your workforce? Shouldn't it be mission essential? So what does she do? She had to go into work yesterday and perform what they call shutdown procedures. It's apparently a really rough job because her shutdown procedures were putting an out-of-office message on her voicemail and her email and turning in her timesheets for this week so that she could get paid. That was it. Now, I've got a question for you guys. In the private sector, we've done recent stories about places like, oh, I don't know, Papa John's in California. Employees showed up on payday to work after working 2 weeks at 8 Papa John's in Sacramento, California, and there was a note on the door that said, we are closed permanently, and nobody was there to give them their paychecks or anything else. That's a shutdown. That's a shutdown. And these people are going to have to go to court and fight to get their money. So these government employees who are doing the whining right now, I apologize for your situation. I really do. But if you asinine individuals would quit electing people who are being a daggone problem to our government and our way of life for your own selfish interest, and you would realize that the private sector has to deal with stuff like this with Papa John's every day, we'd be a lot better off. And who does she say is responsible? Oh, I don't know. She says it's dangerous and irresponsible for politicians to hold the economy hostage over a law, regardless of how controversial it might be. Wow, who would that be referring to? You know, people need to get their act together over on the Hill. Damn. To figure out who that was, you know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the issue is they use this as a trump card. They use this to blackmail actual legitimate programs. And the reason I say that is look what came out today with Harry Reid. Did you guys hear the story today where he basically said, why would we want to help sick children with cancer?
Yep. I don't have the bag on. I wanted the audio on that, but I didn't have time to get it.
Because he talked about how he was worried about his 1,100 people from his Air Force base in his district. You know, who he's talking about here, voting, tax-paying people in his district. He knows he's afraid that they're going to vote and vote against him, and he knows that they get tax dollars from these people. So see, these children don't vote. Children don't pay taxes. So there's a reason that they abort them early on, and there's a reason Harry Reid said today to a CNN reporter, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to fund one child with cancer when I have 1,100 military industrial complex employees sitting at home?
Oh, and that's exactly it, you know. And you know, nobody wants to look at that. Nobody wants to look at that. And that's what's so unbelievable to me, because they continue talking about it's all about health care, it's all about doing the right thing and helping people. And here you're telling us sick kids with cancer don't matter. You're telling us the environment don't matter. You're telling us we don't need to do research in a lab for whatever reason. I mean, if this guy was researching cancer cure, this Matthew Hoffman guy was researching cancer cure, and they sent him home because he's non-essential, guess what? They just said that health care don't matter. Three different instances I just named to you guys. You know, and the reality is, in my opinion, and the opinion of most people that I've talked to on both sides of the aisle, even the thought of implementing Obamacare on January the 1st, 2014, is not unconstitutional. It's actually illegal. Because I agree. You guys stay with me here for a minute. Because I agree with the Democrats on one thing. In 2009, Obamacare was passed in its entirety. The Supreme Court has upheld the Obamacare law. All they did was change the language and said that it was a tax. But they upheld Obamacare law. At that point, to be legal, Obamacare has to be fully implemented, which means you cannot delay or exempt big business. You cannot delay or exempt your union buddies. You cannot delay or exempt Congress. You can't pick and choose what part of that law you want to implement. And the only thing that Obamacare is going to accomplish on January the 1st is implementing one part of it called the individual mandate, because Barack Obama has already decided he was going to delay implementation for a year to get through the midterm elections for everybody else because they were raising up against him. So how is this thing even constitutional to implement at all? Because it never went back to the Congress to be rechanged, reworded, anything. Dale?
Well, sticking with the implications of the shutdown, my firmly tongue-in-cheek question, Ed, I know this, let me see, I'm looking at the calendar here. I don't know if this week's my payday week or it's next week. But since government shut down, does that mean my next check will be a full check without federal taxes taken out?
Of course not. The IRS is still collecting taxes. You know that.
That's my whole point.
I mean, I know it's
tongue-in-cheek. The stuff that matters are the things that they take advantage of, and the things that we'd rather them not have open in the government. IRS is still taking your money. Congress, as we just discussed, still getting paid. And if I flip through the dials of the globalist media, I see public broadcasting is still up. PBS is still up. National Public Radio is still open. The overpaid union hack mailman still delivered my mail today where bunch of crap that I didn't want, a bunch of unsolicited ads. So why are these people still working, Ed, Paul?
That's a good question, Dale, and that's the whole point. What exactly is essential? What they're telling us is that they can run our government with 59% of the people that we now have.
Then do it.
That our government can, exactly, then do it. I mean, let's just say and assume for one second here, because we know you're going to have the political patronage, which is where all these jobs originate from anyway. Let's meet both sides halfway with the Democrats and Republicans. Don't get rid of 41% of the people. How about doing a 20% across-the-board cut? Let's do this in increments. How much better will we be off then? How much money will we save? You know, I think it's interesting that these idiots are out here proving to the whole world that we don't need them. You know, but at the same time, they are destroying America. We've got full-timers losing their jobs, having to go to part-time work. I mean, I did the numbers today. Let me give you guys a good example here, because I did the numbers today, and I thought it was very, very interesting, because what those numbers did is they told me just how expensive this is, and I tell you why. There was a thing out on the Internet by a guy by the name of William Sheehan. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet. All right, but William Sheehan supposedly is somebody who has type 1 diabetes, and it went online, spent all day yesterday signing up for Obamacare, and at the end of it, the premiums were going to cost him $700 a month, and he was going to have to pay out of pocket like $15,000 a year. He couldn't do that. He couldn't afford that. So he decided to opt out of Obamacare, and then this morning he gets a letter from the IRS telling him that, you know, if he doesn't have insurance, he's going to have to pay this penalty every year, and if he doesn't pay it for 2 years, then they're going to put a tax lien against him on his house, any property, et cetera, take it out of his bank accounts, whatever. So he had to give them all of this information about his personal history up front, and then when he decided this is unaffordable for me, then they have to threaten him with getting insurance. Well, I decided I was going to do it because a lot of people online are saying, oh, that's garbage. That's just somebody playing this silly game that they're trying to do this propaganda thing. This guy don't exist. It can't be real. So I went through the process today, folks, and I went through for two adult people in my household, me and my wife, and I also lied a little bit. My personal medical history is nobody's business but mine. So what I did is I went through with no pre-existing conditions, perfect health, no doctors, anything else, none of the medical stuff that I have. I have a clean bill of health on paper with this week, with these clowns. And my premiums for the same plan that Sheehan was going after were $350 a month and $13,000 out-of-pocket each year. It's only a couple hundred cheaper than his each month. So explain to me how his story probably doesn't make sense because he has to identify type 1 diabetes and pre-existing conditions. You know, that's the reality of what we're fighting with Obamacare. That's the individual mandate. And then once you go through the system and set up everything and give them all this personal information on you, then you're rewarded with mail coming to you telling you that you're going to pay this or else. Isn't that mafia?
Of course it is. They're the union mafia. They're the government mafia. They're every bad form of mafia put together. The only reason they survive is because we keep paying their income. We keep paying their salary. And that's why I said if we're going to shut the damn government down, let's shut the real government down. Let's send home these people who are non-essential. I think most people in Congress are non-essential. I think most of the guys who sleep their way through the U.S. Senate are non-essential. I think the ones in the black moo-moos on the Supreme Court have proven themselves to be non-essential. So the only ones that get hurt are the ones who don't have power and don't pay taxes. The only people who are running to sign up for Obamacare as well, because it's kind of intertwined, Obamacare and the shutdown, there are only two types of people running to sign up for Obamacare, and that's either the ones who think they're going to get something for free and don't know any better yet, and the ones who are afraid not to get it because they don't want to be put in a cage.
And we also have a lot of reports out today, too. We're getting ready to take our bottom-of-the-hour break, folks. But we also have a lot of reports out today, you know. Now, I understand that the government computers and everything else supposedly crashed yesterday for everybody. But at the same time, the individual states are reporting that very few people overall even attempted to do this. I mean, here in Kentucky, we only had 1,000 people apply, and I think 100 of them were eligible. So, you know, we're looking at things like this as well. So this isn't going to be the big end-all, be-all that the Democrats hoped it would be. We're going to take the bottom of the hour break, folks. We'll be right back. Listen to the Edge Springs Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound in.
Well, I see. This is 1984, where up is down, down is up, east is west. Mr. President, all one needs to do is look at the press. We have a situation where we have a good day for the anarchists. Why? Because the government is closed. Speaker Boehner and his band of Tea Party radicals have done the unthinkable. They've shut down the federal government.
And that's your Senate Majority Leader, folks, Harry Reid. I tell you, you know, this is the problem here. Harry Reid continues playing these clowns, telling everybody, listen to the press, listen to the press, listen to the press. You know, that's that mind-wash, you know, that brainwashing thing that continues going on in this country. And these sheeple liberals follow it. We've got to get our CNN fixed. It's everybody's fault. Democrats right. Good things come with free stuff. You know, it's crazy. What did you think about that statement by Harry Reid?
Well, he's right if he talks about being 1984 because he's living the example of 1984. But for him to sit here and call them anarchists, that's wishful thinking. When I hear anarchists, I get excited. I think, man, it'd be great if we had some real live anarchists with balls doing something. And then he talks about Boehner and the Tea Party. Boehner's not even on the radar with the Tea Party. I will say this, Ed. I heard a little bit of your show with Mr. Martin last night, and I want to chastise you a little bit because I can go back to shows that we were doing like 2 years ago when you told me the Tea Party wouldn't last very long. So I'm glad you were wrong about that.
I actually don't think I was wrong about that. I don't think the Tea Party movement has lasted very long. I think the Tea Party candidates.
Oh, it'll be around
Tea
for
Party,
years and years, my friend.
Well, no. I think that we have valid Tea Party candidates. But I think the Tea Party movement itself, and I still stand by that, has become in disarray because over the last couple of years, it's like once Tea Party candidates got elected, the Tea Party was forgotten about. But a lot of that could be, too, and I've got to admit this, and I'll meet you halfway. A lot of that could be, too, because mainstream media was covering the Tea Party like crazy in the beginning, trying to make them look irrelevant. But now if they have achieved relevancy, maybe they've disappeared from the media for a reason.
Well, that's
so,
what I'm saying.
You know,
they've achieved relevancy,
right.
So Harry Reid comes along and calls them anarchists. I mean, it's wishful thinking. I wish a lot of people, some people, if you go back to the original real Tea Party, they were a lot closer to anarchists. And remember, folks, I'm using anarchist as a good word. That's a bad word they want you to make it out to be because, again, it's all public perception. They want you to think anarchist is some kid throwing a Molotov cocktail over in Europe somewhere. No, anarchists are people who are sick of the damn government screwing you and raping you and putting you in a cage, my friends.
Right. You know, and that's a big thing.
Hey,
go ahead.
I like Harry Reid's statement, actually, because, number one, it clearly identifies that Harry Reid and his ilk believe that the Tea Party movement is a real and credible threat.
Yeah.
You don't get those kinds of words if you pose no threat to the status quo. So more power to the Tea Party in that regard. Number two, Harry Reid, I don't know why he's in Congress, because if he doesn't understand how our three branches of government operates, why is he there? He said that the Republicans, which is not one of the three branches of government, shut the government down.
Yeah, right.
Well, as I recall, outside groups like Republicans or Democrats, they don't have that power according to the Constitution.
Nope.
However, the President of the United States does, and isn't he really the one that made the executive office decision to shut down the executive agencies that he's responsible for?
Well,
there's no doubt about that.
Around in the executive branch, remember, he is the executive branch, and anybody, you know, his cronies that he appoints, that is the executive branch. So he holds the power of the equivalent of 435 congressmen or 100 senators. So he's definitely, we're looking at one person. And remember, you always hear the left wing, especially the radical black movement, talk about one person, one vote. Well, Barack Hussein Obama has the vote of 435 men in the House and 100 men in the Senate. So he's definitely more responsible. But if you look at the globalist media, they blame Republicans. Every single outlet out there blames Republicans for the shutdown, and people will watch that and eat it up and shake their heads and nod in approval.
Oh, sure.
And
it's amazing to me, too.
And Harry Reid's comments going unchallenged by the Fourth Estate proves that they are clearly not doing their job, because they have an obligation under traditional journalism rules to take statements like that that are just flat-ass wrong and challenge them. And, of course, they don't do that anymore because, well, they're part of the propaganda machine.
Well, and let's look at some other realistic things here too, okay? Because Harry Reid came across Friday, said they were not going to consider any bill that would defund Obamacare. So the Republicans sent the first compromise back, said, okay, we won't defund it, but we will ask you to delay it, give the individual mandate a delay, as you have everybody else, just for 1 year, or give us a one-week extension of the government so we can all sit down in committee together. And he refuses to meet. He has refused to meet with the Republicans in committee since March when they put out their own brand of a bill. And Barack Obama has done the same. Now, Obama was supposed to meet with the people today. I don't know if he did or he didn't because, quite frankly, I didn't want to look and see because I knew how it was going to go. I'll know by tomorrow. But the reality is, you know, for the Democrats to continue blaming Republicans for all the bad things going on, you used the sick child with cancer a few minutes ago, Dale.
Yeah.
Okay? But the Republican House has already offered to fund the National Institutes of Health because that involved 200 sick children who were turned away from the NIH, okay? But they've already agreed to fund the NIH without any preconditions, without anything to it, totally clean and clear, a separate bill that would fund the NIH to help those sick kids with cancer. And Obama refused it and used Harry Reid, and Harry Reid refused it as well. They won't talk to them about that.
Now, here's my question for you. And we, you know, I hear you saying a lot, and it's not just you. A lot of people in the alternative media will tell the truth about what the Democrats are doing. But we know it's all a ruse. We know that there's only real one political party, as we call them here. What are they called?
The Uniparty, of course.
So if we only have a Uniparty, please tell me why in the world are the Republicans allowing the Democrats out of the Uniparty to play good cop, bad cop with them so much?
You know what, Dale? We have no answers for any of that because we know what the answers are.
I mean, look at them. Look at your Senate
majority
leader.
There's not a doubt in my mind. Let me make this clear. There's not a doubt in my mind. The Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and House Leader John Boehner, Republican Leader John Boehner, sat down a long time ago and decided to take and shut down the government. All they're trying to do now is try to figure out how to blame one another. Nobody is doing anything to get it back up. Nobody.
This is why I say this. Because a lot of neocons will really get pissed off if I say this, and I guess dying world liberals will as well. But there's not a lot of difference, if you really get down to it, between Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell. And the reason I say that is if you look it up, how many jobs in the private sector, because I did the research, how many jobs in the private sector has Harry Reid ever had?
I can't think of one.
I looked it up, zero. I looked up also, and I didn't have to look it up because I've lived through this guy's reign of terror, Mr. Addison Mitchell McConnell Jr. Can't be bothered with Vietnam War. I guess that goes back to those homosexual tendencies. We won't talk about those. But Addison Mitchell McConnell Jr., otherwise as Mitch, also has held zero jobs in the private sector. So they're a lot alike. They both are lifetime attorneys. Look at Harry Reid for a moment. I went back and looked at his history. He, even when he was in school, his job while he was going through school was working for the Capitol Police. Then he became a city attorney. Then he went into state government. Then he went into being lieutenant governor. Then he into being chairman of the Nevada Government Gaming Commission. Then he went straight to Washington, D.C. And people who live here know the history of Mitch McConnell. We know that he had this mystery where all of a sudden he was at Fort Mock for 6 months. And just quietly, supposedly optic neuritis, supposedly his multiple sclerosis got him out of the military, and he went straight to working for John Sherman Cooper, and then went back into county government here, then back to U.S. government. So neither of them's ever held a single job in the damn private sector.
I'm totally with you. These guys don't have a clue, or they do have a clue, but they don't care. I mean, they obviously answer to a different master. But, you know, I mean, we have all the proof we need that Barack Obama needs to take credit for this. And, you know, everybody says when I make that statement, oh, you just don't know what you're talking about. Why is the president always blamed? It's because he's black. Well, call me a racist if you want to. There's nothing black about Obama except his heart, apparently. But there was a little memo that went out, and this came off of Rush Limbaugh, and I didn't know it. I found it online when I was researching earlier. And I've got a copy of the memo, and I'll try to get that out to you guys. Actually, I'll put the link to the Rush thing. He's got a copy of it right there on his website. But there's a memo that went out from the executive office of the president. And the title of the memo was Veto Threat. And what it says is this, word for word. It presented with a Republican bill to open the national parks and museums. It presented with a Republican bill to provide local funding for D.C. art. It presented with a bill to honor our promise to Americans' veterans. If the Republicans present a bill for research for life-saving cures, or if the Republicans present a bill to pay National Guard and Reserve troops, the president will veto the bills. And it's signed by Barack Obama. That's the White House. This is a real thing. I'm putting it up in the chat room right now. So you guys tell me, who's the obstructionist and what's the end game here? You can't compromise when you've got a president and a Senate who refuses to come to the table and compromise. And I tell you something. Here's some other things people don't know. We want to look at this shutdown and blame the Republicans. Well, okay, let's blame the Republicans. Because prior to this shutdown, we've had a total of 17 government shutdowns. The longest one lasted in 1995, and it lasted for 21 days. Bill Clinton was the president. Who controlled the Congress at that time, at that shutdown in 1995? Republicans did. What did it get us? It got us a balanced budget and a surplus. Now, here's what everybody wants to ignore. The 15 times prior to this, Democrats shut down the government. The first 15 times this government was shut down, the Democrats shut down the government. They did it 8 times under Ronald Reagan. 8 times out of 15 under Ronald Reagan. They did it in 81, 82, 83, 84, 86, and 87. So 15 out of 17 times the Democrats shut down the government. But it's some mean old bad Republicans who are at fault here, right? Do people not pay attention to history?
No, they don't. I mean, we know, like with the World War II situation. I know we talked about in the break, we might want to get into the fact that these poor old World War II veterans are being told they can't go to their own memorial, and their part of history has just been erased from what the government indoctrination camps called public schools teach. They just have totally obliterated it. They don't even talk about things like World War II.
No, they don't. And, you know, and that's what's really interesting, because this is crazy. Talk about the World War II incident. What's going on now is a World War II memorial. World War II veterans, there's a year in advance that you have to schedule a trip there. It costs between $80,000 to $100,000. The average age of the World War II veterans going to visit this memorial is somewhere around 90 years old. It's literally a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for these people to go see this. Okay? Now, what makes this so pathetic is the fact that the Obama administration decided they wanted to close this World War II monument. Now, this isn't a building, folks. This isn't an enclosed structure. This is a monument that's open to the public 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As a matter of fact, on their own website dedicated to this, they state that the memorial opened to the public on April 29, 2004, and was dedicated 1 month later on May 29th. It's located on 17th Street between Constitution and Independence Avenues, and is flanked by the Washington Monument to the east and the Lincoln Memorial to the west. And here's the kicker. The memorial is operated by the National Park Service and is open to visitors 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's an open-air memorial. When people got the word Monday night that they were going to be furloughed, some of the security people were called and told they were going to be furloughed. Then they were called back later and told specifically to go to this memorial and block the entrance, and nobody was allowed in. It was going to be closed. That's like telling me I can't walk into a daggone public park or public field anywhere, and that's what they're doing at the federal parks, because that land is off limits to me. I own that land. But these World War II veterans fought and served our country. They lost many of their people. They know what a real fight is all about. And if you think I'm lying, think about this, because here's some tweets coming from these people. Stephen Hayes, he's one of the people there. He says that Carol Johnson with the Park Service told him they were closing the site because the White House Office of Management and Budget ordered them to. Kathleen McKinley, the White House of Office and Budget Management and Budget ordered us to close the World War II memorial. And then you got a guy by the name of Benny Johnson. Park rangers told me they were instructed to do this by OMB. That's Obama direct, folks. That's the president saying, screw the veterans. So now we've got a piece of paper that legitimately proves that Barack Obama is not willing to discuss or do anything. We've got eyewitness accounts of these security people who are discussed about the fact they were ordered to go there. They were going to stop them yesterday, but Michelle Bachmann, Representative King, and a few others showed up and got that under control. As a matter of fact, I want you guys to hear this.
Mississippians were the first ones to come here after this place has been closed down, fenced down, and barricaded with government resources that they say we don't have. And I talked to one of the parks officers who told me that she was being furloughed because of the shutdown, but they called her into, she didn't say the word emergency services, but she called her in to guard this so people couldn't get in.
That was Representative King out of Iowa. He showed up yesterday to make sure the veterans could get in there. So we've got all of these things going on. You know, how can we sit here and say that Barack Obama is not an obstructionist or he has nothing to do with this? It defies logic. Dale.
It defies logic. He's a lame duck president. He's got nothing left to prove. So the fact that he is not accountable and can't be elected or unelected, tie that together with the fact that we just talked about all the people who sit home and believe whatever they tell the sheep to believe on television, this is what you get. And that's why I said it's sad that the one side, the R side of the uniparty, lets the D side of the uniparty play good cop, bad cop with them like this.
It really is. Paul.
What do you expect from this guy? I mean, ranting about this guy after now he's in his fifth year, ranting is, it may be therapeutic, but it doesn't solve anything.
I'm totally with you.
I'm more interested in finding ways to solve these issues. And,
well, that's
you know, ranting
thing,
about Obama doesn't solve it. It doesn't solve a thing, guys.
No, see, and that's where I'm going. But here's where I'm going with this, okay? Because these things become issues because you got a liberal mainstream press, and the Democrats are very good at one thing. They're good at screwing things up and blaming somebody else. That's what a liberal does. They have no plans. They only have an agenda. And the mainstream press over the years has been basically aiding and abetting, in my opinion. When you say, what can you do? How do you overcome this? Here's the problem. Republicans and real conservatives, I should say, not Republicans, because the uniparty is alive and well. But real conservatives, when you take a Rand Paul, a Tom Massey, an Amish, Ted Cruz, insert name here. When you take real conservatives and they go out there, they're ripped apart, torn apart, and chastised by mainstream. Now, Rand Paul will survive. Cruz will survive. Hamas will survive. You know, but the reality is the Republicans are so deeply divided right now because you have the apologists who are rhinos like John McCain and Lindsey Graham out there saying, please, 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 let's open the government back up. Let's give them what they want because that's what they've known to do all of these years. And then you've got Rand Paul and Tom Massey and those guys standing up and saying, no. That's the wrong thing to do. We're going to stand up for the right thing now, and you're just going to have to deal with it. So the Republicans have got a great divide, and the Democrats have done a very good job using the media and their idiocy to make sure that it's perceived that way. So what do? You keep your pressure on the Republicans. Forget the Democrats right now. Forget the Democrats.
Well, I agree, and that's the problem. You'll have a lot of neocons tell us, oh, you need to be focused on the Democrats. And like you just said, why? Why? Why should we focus on them? Forget about them. The issue we have going on right now, and I was discussing this online with a couple of my friends from Northern Kentucky last night, the issue that we have going on right now is the reason we're in this situation is because they don't want constitutional Republicans elected. And when people think I'm talking crazy out of my ass, and they ask me who I'm talking about by they, I'm talking about the quote-unquote party leadership. Look at the party leadership just here in Kentucky, with the Republican Party of Kentucky and the Jefferson County Republican Party. Remember that the party, quote-unquote, leadership, I'm using those quotes because, like Mitch McConnell, they don't lead a damn thing except people to the slaughter, sheep to the slaughter. But remember that the party leadership bowed down and worshiped John McCain and Mitt Romney in the last two presidential elections, and they told us that Ron Paul was a wasted vote. And the same county and party leadership did everything they could to defeat Rand Paul in the 2010 primary and failed miserably. And now they pretend to love him. And then the same leadership did everything they could again to defeat Thomas Massey in the 2012 primary and failed miserably. What about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You know, that's the whole deal. The Republicans are divided by their own accord. You know, the Democrats will eat their young. We know that. We know that. But when it comes time.
Yeah, they're ashamed of their heroes now, Ed. You look at the state and county party. I've said this for a long time. You look at who they propped up. Loyalty is just a wet dream that they created because the people that are supposedly loyal, it's like Harry Reid just said back then, black is white and up is down, because you look at the people they promoted, you look at their Mount Rushmore of people who were in the state of Kentucky, their darlings for the last 10 or 12 years. It was David Williams, Richie Farmer, Trey Grayson. And what happened to these guys? Where did they go? So like I said, they're ashamed and embarrassed to admit that they were huge worshippers and Kool-Aid drinkers for John McCain, Mitt Romney, and Trey Grayson. And I'm not ashamed to say all along that I have always been an early supporter of Ron Paul, Rand Paul, and Thomas Massey. That's the difference between a Republican and a constitutionalist.
Well, I don't disagree with you there. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, you know, my show introduced Rand Paul to the Louisville market when he first decided to run for office. You know, we brought him on two or three times to help him get sway, and he finally hit mainstream. You know, so I mean, we've done our part, too. But it's just really fascinating to me that, you know, we continue blaming the Republicans for a government shutdown when nothing is further than the truth. But the Republicans have painted themselves into the corner as the party who's going to go ahead, be blamed for everything, capitulate, so they're going to show no leadership skills at all. They're weak. I guess my final point on that would be this, simply, that the Republicans right now, they're going to be blamed for this anyway, so they need to ride it out until they get something in return. I would. It makes no sense not to. And if Barack Obama wants to continue sending out memos like that, saying that nothing's on the table, that he will not fund anything, including cancer research or NIH for cancer kids, I mean, you know, you can't sit here and say you're doing it for the kids and you're worried about health care when you're defunding everything that's going to help the weakest among us with their medical conditions. So we've got to put all that into play. The Republicans need to stand firm, and they need to stand together. And they're not going to do that with rhinos like John McCain and Lindsey Graham there. You know, we're going to take our last break for the night and come back and get in a few closing comments, folks. You're listening to the Ed Spring Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding, or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you. Yeah, folks, listen to the words, sing with me now. Let's just get that playground in our mind. I want to live in Barack Obama's world. I want to live in Harry Reid's world. I want to live in Senate Majority Leader's world, man. I want to live that life because it's a playground in their mind. I tell you, I had to play that song, guys. I tell you, I just can't help myself. You know, the world is so rosy. You know, you can't find no love. Depend on us. We're going to destroy it. That's the liberal agenda. You know, Dale, I don't know what to say anymore about any of this stuff. It has become a comical process of errors that has led to this. You have nobody willing to do the right thing by the American people. And government shut down it's actually a very good thing for me. I firmly believe that. I like the fact that this government is shut down. Because when they're getting together, when they're in session, they're not getting anything done anyway, but making it worse. So, you know, that's me. That's it for the show, folks. Dale, final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts. We barely touched the edge of the story about the World War II veterans today, but basically we know they went out to their own World War II memorial, honorable monument there, the last monument ever built for World War II, and I cannot wait to see the crony park police break out their tasers and pepper spray and non-lethal shotgun rounds and start going to town on 80-year-olds who wouldn't follow King Obama's orders to stay away because the park is closed. These people fought in a real war, and they survived to old age with all that baggage. So you try to tell them no, that they can't go into the damn park or the memorial. If the president wants to stomp on these senior citizens like he wants to, then that's going to be the beginning of the Second American Revolution. He doesn't realize these men and women aren't on fixed incomes. They don't depend on him for their survival. And they're in D.C. to visit the memorial dedicated to them, not to him. Nobody cares if the park police are there or not. They don't need to be. These World War II vets have honor, integrity, and value. And they were there today on the Capitol saying death to the New World Order.
And you're absolutely right. But, you know, it wasn't always, it wasn't just built as a monument to them. It was also built by them. Their money, they paid for it, not only financially, but in blood, sweat, and tears. These guys survived everything. They did. Our World War II vets survived Adolf Hitler, D-Day, Pearl Harbor, you name it. They survived it. And to think that this asinine squatter-in-chief, and that's what he is to me, can sit there and try to tell them that they don't deserve or they can't be allowed to go visit their own memorial is about as low as it gets. But it gets even lower because the Republicans also agreed to pass clean legislation to fund the National Institute of Health to help 200 cancer-stricken children. And Obama and Harry Reid said no. Harry Reid says, why should I care about one sick kid with cancer? Why should you care, Harry Reid? Because you're basing your whole damn majority leadership and threatening this country over a daggone ill-thought-out bankrupt plan called Obamacare. Obamacare? Are you kidding me? Affordable care? Are you kidding me? You don't care about one sick kid with cancer, then why are we going through all of this? That's the reality, people. It's time to wake up. Smell the roses. Get involved. But to the Republican Party, I know you're part of the Uniparty. I get that. But I'm going to tell you, today is the day you change that perception. Grow a set of cojones. You stand firm, you stand tall. Until this works out in a way that's best for the American people and for the conservatives of this country. Rand Paul, Tom Massey, Amash, Ted Cruz, you guys, thank you. Thank you for your service, for forcing the conservatives to try to be conservatives. Now let's hope that John Boehner has the cojones to keep this kind of heat on. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, folks, live right here at 7 o'clock, Dale the Truth Gillespie will be back with the infamous TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. You'll make sure you want to tune in for that. Believe me, there's a lot more to come, and Dale will get you there. And don't forget our good friend Mr. Ken Moman on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock right here, same time, same channel, with Liberty Unbridled, where he'll get into liberty issues and the craziness that's going on, and I'm sure this topic will still be going on then as well. As for me, that's it for tonight, folks. Have a great night, and I'm going to replay your favorite song for you right now on the way out the door. Take care.
I got a nickel. the playground in my mind, in a world that used to be. Close your eyes and follow me, where the children laugh and the children play, and we sing a song. Married, we're going.